Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a distinct power or powerlessness to words, but men conspire to use them for all the power they may leverage from them. The men of Babel thought to use their common language, which was itself powerful, everyone could communicate with everyone else, to elevate themselves to heaven, to make a name for themselves, to build a waterproof tower that would be safe from the judgment of God. What a ridiculous idea, you might suppose. But then who in the flesh is unlike these foolish men of Babel? Who has not tried to ascend to God? Who has not bartered or bargained with vain words? Who has not tried to be like God, elevating your works and speech to the realm of the divine? The temptation to which the men of Babel surrendered is not unlike that to which their ancestors and yours succumbed, Adam and Eve. You will be like God. Nor is the foolishness of the tower builders too unlike your own. At Pentecost, with this reading from Jesus where he exhorts you to be keepers of his word, and the epistle reading tells you of the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to do for hearers of the word what they could not do for themselves, you see, the curtain is pulled back on this daily struggle between flesh and spirit, the old man and the new man, the desires of the flesh and the will of the spirit. Jesus answered Judas, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." That's the litmus test, the word, and your ability and desire to keep it. So dare you ask how you stack up? Do you keep the word of Jesus? Do you obey his commands, all of them, delight in them, as the psalmist says? All of his commands, including his prohibition of divorce, his condemnation of lustful thoughts, his forbidding of you to love money. Do you really love and keep the word? What about the third commandment, just one of 10? Do you gladly hear and learn the word of God? Not to mention receiving it weekly in the divine service, learning it in Bible class, but also daily meditating on it, memorizing it, teaching it to your children, bringing them faithfully to Sunday school, Wednesday services, and catechesis. Do you read the Bible daily? Even in the congregation at prayer inside your bulletin week after week is a guide for daily reading. Do you have family devotions daily? If you love Jesus, he says, you will keep his word. If you will not live by the word of God, you will not live at all. If you do not love the word of God with your whole heart, you deserve to go to hell. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you do not receive the word with thanksgiving today, it will be of little comfort tomorrow. If you do not hear the word which calls you to repentance and declares you forgiven today, tomorrow you may hear the final word which declares you eternally condemned. There is no escaping the word of God. Every creature is alive by the word of God. The same word which spoke creation into existence still holds creation in existence. Every human being lives and moves and has his being in the very word of God, whether he acknowledges it or not. It is the word which endures forever, that keeps all things alive. There's no escaping the word of God. Every human is under the authority of the word of God. Even those who don't bend the knee to the word, who don't love it or keep it now, either you will receive the word today with joy or you will receive it later with terror. The problem, plain and simple, is that your flesh does not love the Word. Human flesh does not. Flesh born with the corruption of Adam and Eve is born terrified, hateful of the Word of God. The men of Babel loved their own works and words. But the Lord scrambled their language and dispersed them over the face of the earth, both judgment and mercy, so that he might punish their disobedience, but also thwart their schemes to be their own gods. Adam and Eve loved their own rationalizations. The food was pleasing to the eye and good for food, and certainly God would not have created a tree and planted it in the middle of the garden with fruit that gave such knowledge if he had intended forever to withhold such knowledge from them and had not intended for them to enjoy the fruit of this tree. And so God also, in punishment and protection, banned them from the tree of life, lest eating from the tree of life forever, they live forever in such a fallen state, in a state of rebellion and alienation from him. Likewise, have you not rationalized your sin away, cutting off the hard edges of the Word of God, God's eternal, unchanging Word, preferred the words of men more than the clear, certain Word of God? That your condition is not unique, that it has plagued every human since Adam and Eve, does not make it any less deadly or damning. Repent. Your flesh does not love the Word as you ought. You do not love the Word by nature, but the Word to his core loves you. This is love, not that you loved God, but that he loved you and sent his Son, the very Word of God, born of a woman to redeem all humanity. The incarnation, enfleshment of the Word of God is a demonstration of his love for you, an enactment of his love for you. That love culminated as the Word of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, bearing the sins of all mankind. You and all humans by nature hated the Word enough to kill him, but he loves you enough to lay down his life for you, to redeem you from your sin, from your lovelessness toward his Word, from your inability to keep his Word, from your deep-seated loathing of the Word of God. And he promised, "The word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He will do for you what you cannot do for yourself in the power of your own flesh." Pentecost is not the first coming of the Holy Spirit. People before Pentecost had faith. Faith only comes by the work of the Holy Spirit. Flesh cannot produce faith, either by some exercise of the will or some decision or intention. We confess, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. St. Paul again, "How can they believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" So Pentecost is the sending of the Holy Spirit to send preachers, to open the mouths of men to speak the Word of God, to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, so that you might no longer be of the flesh, but now of the Spirit. The church is born by the Word and Spirit. The Word who created all things creates his church by speaking her into existence. This Word draws half-men, subhuman sinners out of death, darkness, and chaos into life, light, and order. It makes them men again, as men were meant to be, the crowning point of God's creation, the focus of his adoration. And she, his church, still speaks the Word. She lives by the Word, bodied together by the work of the Spirit. She loves the Word as the Word loves her. And the Word loves you. The Word gives you life. The Spirit loves the Word. So does everyone born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to come in the ongoing Pentecost of the church, the ongoing era of preachers to proclaim the Word of God to you. The Spirit has given to you the precious gift of faith in the hearing of the Word. He has made you a child of God, born of the Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. He fills, still fills, the mouths of men he has called into the office of the ministry, speaking his forgiving word to you. And the Spirit still Pentecosts you, gathers you together around Christ's altar to hear his word and to receive what his word promises. The body and blood of the Word incarnate, the very body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the solution to all the disorder of your flesh. You don't have to muster up within yourself some will, some power, some strength to love and keep the Word. The Spirit does it all for you. The one who has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified you, who has given you new life in the waters of holy baptism, makes you now, by his power, lovers and keepers of his Word. Pentecost continues. As many days as the Holy Spirit allows the Word of God to be proclaimed to the world. So today, as you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The Word of the Lord endures forever, but the opportunity to receive it joyfully does not. Believe what that Word has declared of you. A saint, complete, human, a beloved child of God, forgiven and set free. Remain in the Word. Be where the Holy Spirit remains perpetually at work to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify the whole church in the Word of God. The Word himself loves you forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.